Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Today I'm going to be preaching on be persistent in prayer, something I think we all really need to do. I used to tell people I'd be praying for you, and they'd say, well, I need the prayers and you need the practice. So... And when you get there to the scripture, I'd like to ask you all to stand, if you would, as I read from God's Word. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and he will delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, we pray today that after we leave this service, that we will be the type of Christian people who are persistent in our prayers. That, Father, we will pray to you day in and day out. That, Father, we will come to you whether it's in the morning, the afternoon of the evening, or a late night hour. Because God, we know that when your children cry out to you, when you hear our prayers, you answer them, and we thank you for that. And now, Father, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you a question this morning. And a lot of you would probably say yes to this question. Have you ever been tempted to lose heart or to become discouraged? Boy, my hand will go up. Yes, very much so. Now, I want you to listen to this. It happens to every single person. I can't tell you how many times I heard somebody in despair say, I don't know why I'm the only one who has to go through something. Well, I'll tell you what, if you go around a room and ask other people, I guarantee you, they'll say, you walk a mile in my shoes, you'll know the problems that I've been through. Everybody goes through something. Jesus specifically told us, as his people, what to do that we do not lose heart in this fallen world. And that's my first point. What did Jesus tell us we ought to always do? Pray. We should always pray. And Jesus was pointing that out in verse 1. He said that we ought to pray so that we don't lose heart. And so many people lose heart today because they look at their problems and they try to figure out their problem, and they're all doing it on self-reliance. You and I have to realize that we don't have the power within us to change our situation. Now, we can change our character, we can change how we go through life, but we do not possess our own power to change circumstances. That's why Jesus said we ought to pray. But if we start to try to change our lives, then we become gripped with worry and fear and doubt, and then turmoil sets in, and then the more negative we get, our hearts become burdened and heavy laden, and then after a while, people say, well, you know what? Nobody really cares about me. How many of you ever been there too? A friend of mine was on Facebook the other night doing that. Well, I really don't fit in, so I guess I'll just keep doing what I do, be by myself. Well, I've heard some people say, well, let me play you the smallest violin. And I never could stand that. But we can be negative, but it's never going to change anything. The only thing being negative is going to do, it's going to drag you down, and it's eventually going to lead to one physical problem after another and one health problem after another. And on top of that, it's going to be a big emotional dump. So now, I want you to sit there and just let that get into the recesses of your mind, and I want you to put that in your heart, that we are not to lose heart, because if you lose heart, I believe that's when you lose your mind, and that's when people end up going crazy. They just have no more hope. But Jesus was given to us as our hope, as our strength. And Jesus, if he prayed often, then we know he had a good thing going, because he communicated with God the Father day in and day out. If you read a lot, now I've been reading a lot in the Gospels. I started this program, it's called the Bible Recap, and you can read the Old Testament or the New Testament all the way through by reading every day. And I've read a lot so far in the Gospels. I've started the New Testament, and I've been reading a lot more in the Gospels, and really seeing that Jesus, when he wasn't ministering to people, he would slip away. And when he went to slip away, he wasn't going to go to spend time by himself, do what he wanted. He went to go pray, because he wanted to seek the Father's will. And that's most important for us as Christians today. If we don't want to lose heart, we should go away as much as we can, and we should go to a quiet place, and we should get on our faces before the Lord, and we should pour out our hearts before him, because we know that God cares for us, we know that God loves us, and we know that God hears us. And I want you to know this: if you go to God in prayer, and if you go to him and pour out your heart, and you believe that he has heard you, then God will respond. But I seriously believe this: God will not respond if we come to him with a negative attitude and we refuse to have any faith. See, faith is what moves God. So when we go to pray, we should pray consistently. We should always pray, because we are making a connection with God. When Jesus died on the cross, that opened up the door for us to be able to come before the throne of God and have this connection. Before that, we didn't have any other way. And I tell you what, if we've got this connection, if we have these opportunities day in and day out to pray, then I think we ought to take advantage of them. But the devil sits upon the shoulder and he whispers into your ear, well, now wait a minute. Now you don't want to go pray, because if you pray, you're going to get close to God. And that's not what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. And the devil starts to whisper a lot of negative things into the mind. And then what happens? We get negative. And then we start to gripe and complain. And there we go. down that same path, and it seems to be a human, it's a problem of the flesh. Oh, I'm sorry, it's somebody's phone. I thought maybe I had a pacemaker going off or something. I wasn't sure. Anyway, we should spend time praying so that we don't ever get negative. If we spent more time praising God and singing songs and praying to the Lord, then we wouldn't want to gripe and complain. How many of you would want to listen to somebody that griped and complained all the time anyway? I sure wouldn't. I listen to people. Well, I'll just say this. I'm not talking bad about nobody, but this is from a pastor's perspective. I pastored quite a few churches, and there would be times that people say, "Preacher, I need to talk to you." Okay, well, what's going on? And then they'd open up, and it was always everybody else, but never them, that was the problem. And then I would say, "Well, wait a minute. Wait just a moment. Can I interrupt you for a second?" They go, "Yeah." I said, do you see a pattern here?" "No." I said, "Well, here's the problem. You're sitting here telling me that everybody else is the cause of your problems, but not one time have I heard you say, 'Well, maybe I am the cause of a lot of the issues here.'" And that's truth. And I think a lot of times we should really stop and look at ourselves, and we should really see that if there's negative coming out of us, it's not because of somebody else, but it's the attitude of the heart. Because what's in the heart is what comes out of the mouth. And you've read that in the Bible before. The attitude of your heart, that's what comes out of your mouth. So if we are spending time with God, if we have a close relationship with Him, then good things will come out of us, because we are to bless others. We are to have words of affirmation to come from us. Because I tell you what, when people are around you and you're speaking good things of the Lord, you know what those people want? They want to be around you, because they know that you have deeply committed your life to God and to live for Him. If we pray to God, now listen to this, God will help us to navigate the ups and downs in life. Now, I've probably said this before, I'll say it again. We're all going to be on the mountaintop. We're all going to go through valleys. When we're on the mountaintop, we feel good. We feel like we've conquered everything. Man, we feel strong and mighty and bold, and we're praising God. But the moment we get into a valley, the whole atmosphere around us changes, and our attitude changes, and then what we were here was different down here. I want to tell you this. When you start going into a valley, when you start experiencing troubled times in your life, the Bible says that in all things we should praise God, in the good and the bad. And you say, well, how can you praise God when you're going through something really difficult? Well, because I know that when I praise God, when I'm going through difficult times, it causes God to be moved, and God is right there by my side, and God is attending to my situation. And boy, Laura picked out a good song of In the Garden. "And He walks with me, and He talks with me along life's narrow ways." When we're going through trouble and we're seeking the Lord, He is there with us. So when you're going through a valley, praise God. And when you're coming out of the valley, praise God. When you're on the mountaintop, praise God, because it will change every aspect of your life and you will be a much happier person. Now, how many of you want to be happy? Now, I mean that by joyous in the Lord, not happy because you got money or whatever, I ain't talking about that. That's riches of the world, and that don't bring you contentment. But if you have a relationship with the Lord, you are going to be a joyous person. Now, my sweet grandmother, now, I'll say this. She was a preacher's wife, a great woman, loved. And I tell you what, all the kids in the church used to want to sit on the pew with Granny. And I used to get a little bit jealous because she was my granny. But anyway, as I got older, I understood that her love is what drew all the kids. But not only that, wherever she went, the people flocked to her because Jesus poured out of her in her life. And I always wondered why I was so drawn to my grandma. Because my grandmother was always praying for people. She always witnessed. She always talked to God. Her and Grandpa read the Word together. And here she was. I'll say this as a great testimony for her. She had had a stroke, and it literally disabled the right side of her body. And I drove all the way to Little Rock, Arkansas to go see her. My grandfather had My grandfather had passed away, and she didn't get to go to his funeral because she was in the hospital and not in a good condition. But I finally went down to see her a few months after Grandpa's funeral, and I knocked on the door, and my Uncle Dan let me in, and there was Granny laying in her bed. And I said, "Hi, Granny, how are you?" And in the state that she was in, the pain she felt, this is what she said to me. She said, "Jimbo, help me up out of bed." She said, "I lost something, but I've got it back." Well, I didn't know what she was talking about, but I knew that she wasn't talking crazy out of her head. So I helped her up out of bed, and we walked into the living room, and this is what she did. She walked over. She had a piano about like the one that Effie plays there, and she lifted up. This is with the hand that was crippled from the stroke, lifted the keyboard cover up on that piano, and she said, "Look what I got back." She hadn't been able to play since the stroke, and she stood there one-handed, started to play that piano. And all this time that she was going through everything she faced, she was still a triumphant warrior for Christ, and she never lost heart. And I'm not saying this to put her up here on a pedestal. I'm not. What I'm telling you, it is a tool of encouragement that you don't trust in people. Don't trust in me. Trust in God. Put your faith in Him, and you base your life and everything about God, and He will take care of every aspect of your life. Now, there are injustices of life that can bring us discouragement. Now, in the parable, Jesus was speaking about the widow who had the adversary. And the widow wanted something done about it. And I mean, she went to this judge. The judge did not believe in God. He didn't like human beings. Boy, could you imagine having a judge like that? And you had to go to traffic court and face somebody who didn't believe in God, who didn't like people, and you had a traffic ticket. Oh my word, what could come down from that judge's chair, you know? But anyway, this little woman, this widow woman, I really like her spunk. How many of you ever known somebody that had a lot of spunk and didn't back down? Well, I tell you what, sometimes it's good to have that kind of spunk. Yeah, Billy's back there shaking his head. Yeah, he knows somebody. But she didn't give up. She had a trial. She had a situation. And she went to the judge every day, and she brought her complaint before him. And finally, he's like, "My goodness, this woman's going to wear me out. I'm just going to go ahead and give in to her and give her what she's needing to get her out of my sight." My dad used to do that. I'd say, "Dad, could I have a soda, please?" "No, you don't need a soda right now. Go get a glass of water." A little while, I'd come back persistent. "Dad, could I please have a Coca-Cola? I want a soda so bad." "No, son, If you want something, go get water or go get a glass of milk. And a little while I'd come back, and I'd repeat this process over. Finally, my dad'd say, fine. But you go in there and you open that bottle and you get half of it and you share the other half with your sister. And he said, I don't want to hear no more about it. Just go do it. And I thought, boy, this is pretty key. Now, I did find out being persistent with my dad didn't always work. Because most of the time my dad would say, leave me alone or I'm going to adjust your rear end and your attitude at the same time. So, but what I want to say here about this, we should always go before God, persistent. You know why? Because God wants you to. God loves to hear from His children. God loves to hear, thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that I get to pray. Thank you, Father, that we get to have this union together, that you are my Father and I'm your child. Thank you, Lord, I'm alive. And Father, I praise you for your Son, Jesus. I mean, give God all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and then bring to God the things that are on your heart. And when you pray, I mean pray fervently. You pray with boldness. You pray with faith. Because when you do, God will hear you and God will answer you. We see, the Bible says, we have not because we ask not. Now, that doesn't mean that you can get on your knees and say, God, give me the winning lottery numbers for this week's Powerball. It's 8.5 million. Oh, God, if you'll just give me the Powerball numbers. I know people who do. Now, God doesn't honor prayers so that we can be greedy and wealthy and all that kind of stuff. Because if you remember, Jesus told everybody, sell your possessions and then come and follow me. What I'm telling you is the things about your life, what you're desiring, and your desire in prayer should be, God, make me a better Christian. God, make me a better follower. Help me to love. Help me to witness. Help me to serve my family. Help me to serve you. God, I've got problems. I got sicknesses. I've got a bad report from the doctor, but Father, I know I trust you with it, and I know you're going to see me through it right to the very end. See, that's what God's looking for. God's not looking for somebody that comes before Him with their bottom lip dragging the ground and saying, well, Lord, it's me again. Lord, if you're listening, I want you to hear me. Only if you're listening, Lord. That's how a lot of Christians approach the throne of God. And that's not faith. That is not the kind of spirit that God wants you to have or the attitude. God wants you to come before Him with boldness. And why do we go before God with boldness? Because we have the power given to us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That we, when He ascended to heaven, He gave us the Holy Spirit, that the moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit would come upon us to be our guide, to help us through this life, to be our strength. And now that we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's alive inside of us only because of God. And we should use that power, so we should always go to God in prayer about everything. I pray all the time for this church, and I ain't talking about this building. I'm talking about for every person that goes here. I pray for the church. I pray for you people, and I pray, though, that this little building gets filled up, and I pray that our Sunday school rooms. But I don't lose heart in that. Look what God's done already. Look at the beautiful people that are here this morning. Look, everyone, whoever comes in here, I thank God for them. But I don't lose heart because I come here every Sunday under His power and authority, knowing that He will move and then He will get the honor and the glory for every bit of it. He is righteous. He is a righteous judge. He knows our circumstances. He knows our difficulties. He knows our trials. He knows your troubles. He knows the heaviness. He knows. And I believe that he feels, because when you go back to the time when Jesus was going to call Lazarus out of the tomb, what did Jesus do? He wept, because he felt the emotion of Lazarus's family. He knew and he felt that. And I also know that God also has to feel what we feel, and he can relate to us in every term and in every aspect of life. And when we want to do something about it, we go to him in prayer, and we know that God hears us. And we also should be looking for God's answers in prayer, because God is wiser than we are. God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's why I always say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we should always memorize that and get it right in here. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all things trust God and trust His ways, because He'll get you through it. If God brings you to it, He'll get you through it. We must persist in prayer in the face of this fallen world. And boy, is this world ever at a fallen state now. I mean, sin is rampant. It's always been here. Evil has always been here. There's always been some kind of trouble. But now that you look around, we're close to the end times. It's all happening. And there's chaos and disorder going on. But with every situation of life, when we take it to God, what we are doing has an impact. When we pray for the people in the world, your prayers don't go unanswered. When you pray for others, a seed is planted, and God will take care of watering that seed, and He will bring about the harvest. So it's not up to us to sit around and worry about what's going on or what's going to take place next. If God says that He will supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, then I know that that's exactly what He's going to do. I've had some people say to me, "Now, preacher, you're taking that scripture out of context because it was relating to a certain situation in the book of Philippians." Well, yes, it was. But God still, for His people, He will meet all of our needs according to His riches and glory. If you need a job, you pray for a job, but you go out and apply for one and move in faith, and God will move and do His part, and He will provide you for a job. If your family is going through turmoil, then you love your family and you spend time with them in prayer and in the Word of God, and you take it all before God, and God's going to come along and He's going to help you with the problems of your family. But if we walk away from God, if we walk aside or away from Him and we don't walk alongside of Him, then God's not going to be able to take care of the things in our life that we come to Him about. Because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And I want you to listen to this. God is kinder than we will ever know. I want you to think about this. Don't think too hard, though. You can't wrap your brain. You cannot wrap this human mind around God. It's not possible. You can't. Because God operates on a much higher realm than we do. He only gave us so much wisdom and understanding. And in this fleshly body, we're not going to always know and understand everything of God. That's why He says we need to trust Him by faith. But I want you to know this, that God is love. And God is so loving and so kind. You should never go before God in prayer thinking that He is a tyrant. that he is some mean guy on with a long beard ready to hit you with a rod over the head because you messed up. God is love. Now God will discipline because you parents, now, and all those of you that have been parents know that you love your children or you love your nieces and nephews or grandkids, whatever. You love them and you want to do good things for them, but you know that you've had to chastise them, you've had to punish them because you want to correct them in the right way. You want to get them pointed in the right direction. And that's what God will do to us. God will have to discipline us at times to make us open our eyes and see. But God is love. And when we go to God, we should thank Him for His love. We should thank Him for His power. And lastly, persistence in prayer is a sign of genuine faith. If you've got faith, you'll go to God in prayer and you'll spend time with Him. I told you that story a while back about the seminary students that went to a Bible. Well, back in the old days, the Bible colleges were just these, over in England, were these small cottages, these houses. And these seminary students all went through, and I can't remember now what famous seminary student or what famous preacher from back in that era lived at that cottage. But anyway, the seminary students went through, and they went into this room, and one of the seminary students noticed indentions in the floor by the bed, places where it was worn out. And he felt drawn to that place. And this one seminary student got down by the bed and he put his knees in those same places in the floor and he started to pray. When it come time to get on the bus, the seminary instructor said, is everybody accounted for? Well, no, one student is not on the bus. And somebody said, well, we saw him up in the upstairs room on his knees praying. And the instructor went back into the cottage, got the student, says, come on, it's time to go. And he said, I'm sorry, but I just noticed that the person who stayed in this room prayed a lot. And you could just feel the power in that room. And the seminary student, that was Billy Graham. That's who that was, that knelt beside that bed, that put his knees in the place because he felt the power. And you know what kind of a man Billy Graham was? He wasn't perfect because Ann Graham said she wanted to kill him some of the time. She did. So he wasn't perfect, but he loved the Lord and he prayed. And I want to challenge you. Are you willing to wear out a spot in the floor of your house because you're faithful to pray? I hope that this message today compels every single one of us. I'm not going to point like this. I'm going to point like this. I hope that this message encourages us all to want to be persistent in prayer. If we all start praying, we know that prayer changes things. And when we see God changing things, then we know great things are on the way.